You're listening to Alternative Stories and Fake Realities. This is the ASFR podcast. Find much more at alternativestories.com.
Rome wilts in late summer heat. The dusty pavements and market squares feel baked to the red clay surface of a tennis court. The open spaces of Villa Borghese are parched at the end of a long, intense summer that shows little sign of mellowing. I've been here 3 days now. Robert has been shooting across the city for a new fashion house, keen to promote its credentials by hiring one of the best up-and-coming photographers. They pay well, and we're being kept in comfortable, if rather noisy, accommodation, just off Via del Corso. Even with the shutters closed and the ambient wash of the aircon cranked to full, the sound of vespers flit like angry mosquitoes through the room deep into the night. After another fitful night, we breakfast early. Rob wants to start the day's shoot before the most intense heat kicks in. Give the models a few hours off and then start again in the last hours of afternoon sunlight.
To catch this reddish light of the low sun. It sort of makes the stone of the ancient buildings come to life with shadow and texture. It's amazing, Nay. You should...
I'm not coming to the shoot today. I'm going to check out some art.
Sure. It might be a bit boring anyway, I think. Lots of standing around while us creatives contemplate our navels.
He doesn't look up from his iPad, his voice uninterested. Gian Lorenzo Bernini.
Sorry, what?
Bernini? Sculptor. Did some of the marbles in Piazza Navona.
Oh, sure, yes. Where are you meeting him?
You used to think I was beautiful.
I'm sorry, used to?
You couldn't help but stare at me. I'd catch you stealing glances when you thought I wasn't looking. I could tell you were framing me with imaginary fingers, the way movie directors are supposed to.
I was. I still do that. Maybe you just don't notice.
Because you don't do it. More interested in the iPad and... Who's this? Chloe Garner?
Professional interest. I honestly think I did some of my best work ever with her yesterday. She has this amazing... I don't know. I want to say poise, but it's not as formal as that. A presence. A charisma. There's no word for what she has. Look at this.
Chloe Garner. On the Ponte Sant'Angelo. The castle keep in the background in reddish tones. Chloe's skin is almost glowing against the honeystone angels of the bridge. She's amazing. Do you find her attractive?
She's only just turned 21. She's got the worldview of a sick former, a spoilt kid who's just signed a contract for $500,000 over 2 years. She can't hold a conversation about anything but herself for more than about 12 seconds.
Yet, the face of an angel and the poise of... What did you say?
I said there were no words for it.
No words. And the rest of the breakfast goes in silence. As we rise to leave the table, he says...
Heard how the kids are doing?
Ah, yes. His children. He knew he'd forgotten something. Fine. Running my parents ragged, no doubt. Freya lost her first tooth.
Give her my love when you speak to them.
Sure. Unless you want to. No. No, of course not. The Galleria Borghese is the latest building in Rome to take my breath away. I've become fascinated by the work of Bernini, a Baroque sculptor, as much a part of the soul of Rome as those vespers and the centuries of history. I have come to see his David, but in the gallery, They're confronted by the art itself and not just guidebook reproductions. It is another work that catches my attention. Apollo and Daphne. I am fascinated. Looking from all angles, marvelling at the detail, the vision and the subject. It depicts the moment when Apollo catches up with the fleeing Daphne who, untempted by his increasingly unpleasant and forceful advances, has attempted to outrun him, praying for release from her pursuer, sufficiently desperate to accept any means of ridding herself of this relentless bastard. The statue depicts the very start of her transformation into a laurel tree. Where do you start on the morality of this? Where does the justice lie in the fact that the girl who had done nothing wrong other than to catch the eye of a god has to pay this price to escape him? And how, as told in numerous versions of the story, are we supposed to feel more sympathy for Apollo for losing that which he most desired when poor Daphne ends the story rooted to the spot, bound in bark and leaves? But as art, it is breathtaking. I half listen into a guided museum tour.
By Bernini. So Bernini works with marble as though it is modelling clay, malleable beneath his fingers, able to be kneaded like freshly made dough and scooped and scraped in moments rather than over long, painstaking months of effort. Every detail of Daphne's body is perfectly captured in the warm light of the Istrian marble. Her toes are turning into roots, stretching and digging themselves into the earth beneath her feet. You can see that bark is clinging to her ankles and calves. You can almost sense the movement upwards as her legs turn to the trunk of a slender tree. Her fingers are sprouting leaf.
I'm transfixed.
Twigs. Her face is
mesmerized. Lost for words.
Don't worry, it is just a story. Are you okay, signorina?
Oh, sorry. I was captivated. How did you know I spoke English?
English guidebook, sticking out of your bag.
Ah, I see. It's beautiful, isn't it? Troubling, but beautiful. I wish I got to look at this art every day. Do you ever get bored?
Never. But it's not the art that intrigues me so much anymore. It is visitors' reaction to it. Their expressions. Sometimes tears, sometimes amusement. That never gets boring. Your reaction was a little extreme, though. I thought you had sprouted your own roots. That's why I asked if you were okay.
Was I there that long? I was enthralled.
Almost an hour.
Almost an hour? Christ! Where did the time go? After the cool of the gallery, the September heat is ferocious. Haze and dust seem to fill the parkland, and as I walk through the busy streets, past Termini and its shabby market stalls, past the steps of Santa Maria Maggiore and the Foro Romano in a meandering route back to the hotel, I think about how the evening with Robert will pan out. At 7, my iPhone rings. It's Robert. Hi.
Hey, some of us are going for a few drinks in a bar in Trastevere. Fancy joining us?
Do you really want me to?
I wouldn't be calling if I didn't.
Let me think about it. Start without me, I'll call you back.
Sure, don't be long.
Oh, fine, thank you. My day's been fine, thanks for asking.
And mine too, thanks for asking. Come over to Trastevere.
One of those things. One of the several things we have lost is the easy intimacy we used to share. The way in which he could make me feel totally at one with him. Part of some in-joke that only we were privy to, even when part of a large group. The way in which he could make me laugh just by the slightest arching of an eyebrow, the slightest change in intonation in a conversation with a stranger, the way he'd play with his food or dance in our quiet apartment when we opened the curtains to let the light of a full moon fill the room, the way he'd say my full name, middle names included, to summon me to lunch.
Naomi Louise Siobhan O'Donnell. Do you want some feckin' pasta or not?
The way he'd stand behind me in the darkening light of a late summer evening, his large hands cupping my breasts as he kissed my shoulders and neck, whispering the lines of some barely remembered song or poem in my eager ear. Don't neglect me, Robert. Don't leave me to wilt and die in the heat like an unwatered flower. Rob, Christ, it's late.
You didn't call. People are thinking I'm making you up. Going back to an empty hotel room for a...
wank? Over a picture of Chloe Garner?
Jesus, Nay, give me a break. Remember, we always said work hard, play hard? Live life like it's your last day on earth.
Sure. I tell you what, I'll do the work hard bit, shall I?
Look, tomorrow night, I promise, we'll go to that restaurant that we've been talking about near Republica.
Sure. That would be nice. And it would. It really would. I feel him slide into the bed beside me as I pretend to sleep. Soft fingers lift a curl of hair from my face, the gentlest of kisses on my cheek. And then he rolls over. Within minutes, the timbre of his breathing changes, and I know he is asleep. I fall asleep thinking of Daphne, and her fingers sprouting green leaves, her toes turning to roots, and her expression. Her expression. In the morning, I wake up thinking of the kids. Of Freya's tooth and Cole's bear, left at a friend's house. I wonder how he managed to sleep without his beloved Bruno. I wonder how I managed to sleep. I meet Robert at a table in the window of the hotel's breakfast room. Scooters and Fiats race up the Arrow Strait Canyon of Via del Corso. Early tourists heading for the Spanish Steps and Trevi Fountain trudge past the window.
Sleep okay?
Yeah, okay. You?
Out like a light, exhausted.
Drunk enough to knock you sideways.
3 Peronis and a Sambuca. How was... what's his name? Baroni?
Bernini.
Okay, how was it?
Stunning. Breathtaking. Overwhelming, actually. No words.
Listen, about tonight...
Shall I book? The guidebook says booking is essential.
I remember that there's a bit of a do. Chloe and her people hosting. It's her last day on the shoot today. She heads back to London tomorrow. Listen, Nay, it would be just lovely if you would join me. Please?
I'll think about it. But we were going to... just you and me. And another meal passes in silence. The babble of conversation I cannot understand, the bustle of waiters, the mundane clink of cutlery on china. All the while, I'm thinking of Bernini and Daphne, marble and roots. The way in which that which confines you can, in a way, set you free.
Got to rush. Piazza Navona at 7. I'll text you the name of the restaurant.
Sure. Sure. Just leave me here with my thoughts and my irrational jealousies and my vague, unnameable feeling that something I treasured so much is dissolving in the palm of my hand. I think about St. Peter's, but the vastness of the Basilica and Square don't seem to match my mood. I know, before I even make the decision, that I will return to Borghese. In the tiny street stalls outside Santa Maria della Vittoria, I buy a delicate peg doll from Gypsy Lady. I'm not sure if it is for Freya or for me. She takes my hand, wanting to read my palm, but I gently pull away, fearful of what she might tell me. Today, it seems better not to know about a future so hazy I can barely imagine it beyond the fingers of my outstretched hand. I cut through the tight streets of Ludovisi and enter Villa Borghese via the south gate. The heat of the day is building. Traffic sound fades a little. I feel able to breathe, a little away from its claustrophobic intensity. I join a short queue for the gallery, counting the accents, feeling the building heat like a pressure headache on the back of my neck and shoulders. Inside the cool of the gallery, I see the attendant, his kindly smile and welcoming demeanour. I feel flattered that he recognizes me.
Signorina, you have come back for more time with the lady.
Daphne? Yes, a few more minutes.
As long as you want. You seem to have, affinity? You have affinity with her somehow?
Perhaps I do. I view from all angles, take pictures on my iPhone. Tiny, beautiful details. Her toes becoming roots, her fingers and their budding leaves. Her expression, awful and unfathomable. Later, I dine alone. Room service delivers me pizza and Chianti. I throw open the shutters and take in the view across the pan-tiled roofs to the dome of St. Peter's. The Tower of Sant'Angelo. Watch the light fade and imagine all the parties and nights out going on in the streets below. Rob's party. The gorgeous Chloe, 10 years his junior. Sleep is fitful, but when I dream, I am in a forest glade. I breathe the pine-swept air and feel the sharpness of twigs and leaves beneath my feet. Birdsong is everywhere, cascading through the clearing, echoing amongst the trees. A gentle voice that seems to come from everywhere.
Are you ready, signorina? Are you ready, signorina?
And I see him walking towards me into the dappled sunlight of the glade. His face is calm and reassuring. I know I trust him. Know I'll be safe. Yes, quite ready.
Then I wish you great happiness.
And as he smiles and I try to step forward to hug him, I feel my feet rooted to the forest floor, my toes stretching, burrowing into the soft, damp earth holding me fast to the spot. For a moment, I panic. But then, I understand. It's a dream. All metaphor. I'm Daphne, my own version of her.
If you like, we can call it metaphor. It's as real as you want it to be.
And I watch, fascinated, as shades of green and brown start to appear on the skin of my feet. Then slowly, like a CGI movie effect that I can feel in my own body, bark seems to grow from the ground, stretching and squeezing its way over my feet and working up, taking my ankles, pushing my legs together, encasing my calves and slowly my knees, which seem to fuse into a single stem or trunk. Fascinated, I lift my dress, watching the gnarly, dark bark replace the smooth, pale skin of my thighs. Tiny shoots and branchlets sprouting and bursting leaves before my eyes. And my fingers, oh! Stretching, becoming slender twigs and budding at the tips before opening to leaves.
And your hair, signorina.
Each strand of brown hair is thickening, turning green, leaves seeming to push their way upwards from my scalp.
Growing so tall.
I am looking down at him from twice my normal height. My body stretching upwards, my arms reaching to the height of the tree canopy around me. The light is brilliant up here, and the birdsong fills the air. I wake as he stumbles into the room, roll over to see his silhouette against the doorway light.
Hey, you missed another good one.
Hmm? Yeah? And I feel him slip into bed beside me, his breath warm on the nape of my neck, and gently whisper.
Good night, Nay. I love you so much, but you're drifting from me.
And I let myself think, is it me or is it him? Are there compromises I should have accepted when I chose to bear his children? Was it too much to expect that I would find something for myself in some corner of his life? The familiar change in his breathing tells me he's fallen asleep. When he wakes in the morning, he will find me gone.
Venezia Santa Lucia,
No Words, Tiffany Clare played Naomi. Charlie Richards was Robert. Federico Folia played the museum attendant. Narration in this podcast is by Kelly Winkler. Music was written and performed by Chris Gregory and published by Scared Crow Music. Sound effects were from freesounds.com. No Words was an Alternative Stories 2019 production. That which constrains us can set us free. This seemingly contradictory assertion is at the heart of the audio drama No Words, and at the heart of the Daphne and Apollo story, as told by Ovid. In the story, Ovid would have us believe that Daphne is so oppressed by Apollo's pursuit of her that any release, including her ultimate transformation into a laurel tree, is preferable to her fate should she succumb to his advances. At Alternative Stories, we don't particularly buy this thesis, not least because it plays into the narrative that relationships with men are what most define women. They are either in a relationship, therefore happy, or outside of one, and therefore sad. Whereas the reality is that there are many unhappy relationships and joyful singularities. It could be argued that Ovid is merely reflecting prevailing attitudes at the time of writing, but even this theory does not really ring true. We know that in the ancient world, the status of women could indeed be defined by their relationships with men. However, there are plenty of instances of powerful women unencumbered by relationships, and of women expressing their despair at being tied to unfulfilling unions with unsuitable partners. In No Words, we have tried to use the story of Daphne as an inspiration to the character Naomi, who finds herself in an increasingly neglectful relationship with her husband Robert. She seems fascinated by Daphne and her fate, and seems to become obsessed not only by Bernini's masterpiece in the Galleria Borghese, but also by the nature and mechanics of Daphne's transformation. This culminates in her dream, in which she imagines herself root-bound and, like Daphne, turning into a forest tree. The experience, in a strange contradiction, seems to stir something in Naomi's mind, which ultimately prompts her decision, at the very end of the drama, to strike out on her own, away from the toxicity of her relationship with Robert. The concept that sometimes in our lives the things which constrain us can set us free is one known for generations by artists and particularly by poets and songwriters. In writing sonnets or haikus, poets must follow a strict, seemingly restrictive structure. A sonnet must have 14 lines, must follow iambic pentameter, and usually ends with a couplet. Such a structure means that sonnet writers must solve a technical problem as they produce something beautiful. But far from compromising the meaning and beauty of what they write, the greatest sonnet writers manage to create some of the most memorable poetry in the English language within these confines. Perhaps the most famous sonnet writer was William Shakespeare, and his best-known sonnet, number 18, begins, "Shall I compare thee to a summer's day," and is known across the English-speaking world. Haikus add brevity to the list of technical challenges that proponents must overcome. Typically, haikus consist of just three phrases each, of which are characterized by what are known as qualities. The ability to summarize, edit down, and express oneself with elegant brevity are essential tools for the successful haiku writer yet. Faced with this apparently overly restrictive set of rules, haiku writers have managed to express the full range of human emotions and encapsulate the very essence of what it is to be human. The poem Lament for Daphne, read here by Kelly Winkler, does not follow the sonnet or haiku format, but does try to express the range of contradictions and emotions at the heart of Daphne's fate. Awe at her magical transformation and relief at her escape from Apollo are set alongside her thoughts on her new form. Music is written by Chris Gregory and performed by Chris Gregory and Penny Stevens. This is AlternativeStories.com. Lament for Daphne. I am hard to find amongst the forest trees, not at the dark heart of the wood, nor yet in the clearing where I might stand alone. You will not see my flowing pale hair, my maiden skin white as February snow. The sapphire of my eye catch the August evening light. Yet, if you look closely and know where to look, you may think a curve in the bark of a trunk, not unlike a woman's breast, branches not unlike a girl's slender fingers, budding leaves, and stretching to the clear blue April sky. I could not stand alone in this forest without my sisters around me. Dryads and naiads, a coven of forest spirits to keep me safe, and listen to my sighs. The wind moved moans of how I was wronged, of how one day the girl that once I was, fleeing a pursuer for her honor and my life, found herself tangled in bark and weed, caught her breath as leaves burst from her hair, saw her toes stretch, burrowing into soft forest earth, becoming roots to lock her fast in place. Can you imagine the scream of shock as the bark clutched hard my legs, dragging them down into the dirt, turning them to roots and trunk, blood turning to sap in my helpless veins, and my voice and breath slowly choked to silence as I turned to a laurel tree. In the quiet forest at dusk, as the dark settles all around, and Polaris pricks her light amongst the leaves, two furtive lovers seem drawn to me, whispering their soft entreaties, as I whisper mine on the lilting breeze, carving their names across my thighs, kissing beneath the darkening shade of my arms, running their fingers across the bark of my chest. My body seems made for their pleasure, as Apollo thought my woman's body was for him. His face, as he at last caught me, his lustful fingers, and my soft white flesh, his tongue tasting the fruits of my innocence, his mind imagining the million things he would do to make his mark on me, his lust for me hot and hard, breathless and beyond all sense of reason, and his face changing as I begin to change. Hands clutching leaves where he expected hair, fingers grasping wood where he thought my soft flesh would be, rough where he expected silk, gnarled where he expected smooth, and his cries of anguish, his cries of anguish, as he lost that which he craved, and I lost everything. Perhaps not everything. I have my lovers and the soft wind through my leaves. At dusk on summer evenings, a nightingale sings his evensong from high within my spreading canopy, and a song thrush nests in my verdant hair. Dryads dance ceremonies around my root-bound form. And beneath the bark, my woman's heart beats, still warm. you for listening to the Alternative Stories and Fake Realities podcast. We hope you have enjoyed this episode. Please subscribe to learn about past and future episodes. If you would like to learn more about alternative stories or contribute to future episodes as a writer, actor, or composer, please visit alternativestories.com.